There we go. All right. Looks like we are live again. I'm Joe Plain, and this is Todd Kramer, and we are doing the second version of Coach's Hot Talk. We stole it from the Hot Ones YouTube video where they do some interviews with some famous people, and I thought it'd be fun to burn our mouths a little bit and get to know some different coaches across the country. We've got so many coaches at so many different levels. I know Todd and I are a member of the Swim Coaches Idea Exchange on Facebook. And I would just check those numbers today. There's 19,000 members on there. So we got a lot of coaches looking for different information. Well, we're starting off with these first few. We're just going to talk some real basic stuff. And who knows, maybe down the road we'll talk more maybe swimming specific things and training. And I'll see how that'll work when we're trying to prevent ourselves from dying with all these hot sauces and things. But so we're going to get started here. Todd and I actually have the same sauces today. It's pretty cool. So we went abroad, and this is not any kind of an advertisement per se, but we just found on Amazon this thing called Purebred Idiot. supposed to be a game. They come in a wheel and you spin a little spinner thing. They're labeled 1 through 12. And each one is supposed to be a little bit hotter. I did 2 through 7 last time. Today we're doing, I think, 1, 3, 5, 7, 8, and 9. So they're going to get a little bit hotter. My lips were burning a little bit before we got to the real hot stuff last time. And then we both have the dab, or the bomb, sorry, the bomb, and the last dab. These are from, they use these sauces on the show, Hot Ones. So that's kind of fun. So we're going to give this a whirl and see how it goes. So let's go ahead and get started. Again, this is Todd Kramer from Columbia, Missouri. He is assistant coach with Columbia Swim Club there. Do you swim at Mizzou as well, I'm assuming, right?
During the school year, we practice at Mizzou with our most of our older swimmers and advanced age group kids. Our beginning age group kids practice at the high school. And then the summer, we're out at an outdoor 6-lane 50-meter pool. So
awesome.
We're going to use Mizzou in the summer.
And Todd also is kind of doing what I started my college coaching as, is he's a volunteer assistant with the Mizzou Tiger swim team as well. So he's got a lot on his plate. We started today at 5 because he tells me he gets up at 4 a.m. to get practices rolling. So we're going to go ahead and get started. So let's start off with hot sauce 1. I don't think this is very hot, but we'll try this. And then after we try this, then I'll start asking you some questions. Sound all right?
Sounds good. You know, I'm going to toot my own horn. First time cooking wings. I did a pretty good job. That was pretty crispy. I like it.
There you go. So first question, when did you start coaching swimming?
So I kind of started coaching swimming by accident. I was a manager for the high school girls swim team at my high school. My sister and I both swam competitively, and the assistant coach for the team couldn't do it, and the head coach needed help because there were, I think we started off the season with 60 girls in a 6-lane, 25-yard pool. And so he gave me the first two lanes, asked me to coach him, and the instruction was don't let him drown. So that's when I first started coaching, and then I also coached summer league after I came home from my freshman year of college. So those were my first two forays into the world of coaching swimming.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, that was my start was came home. I don't remember when it was. Must have been my junior year in college. And coach said, hey, this kid over here wants to learn breaststroke. He's a freshman. He's not very good, but we want maybe swim some breaststroke. Do you want to help him swim breaststroke? Sure, I guess. You know, that, so that was my first time ever trying to really teach anybody anything. I helped a little bit in high school, but I wouldn't definitely call that coaching. So, all right, let's try number 2.
All right.
3, I guess. We want the same numbers, so we're both
yeah.
have kind of the same deal going on.
Being pretty liberal with these early, I have a feeling towards the end, it's going to be the last dab might be just a dab at the end.
Yeah, that's what I did last time for sure. I was a little bit liberal with the bomb, and that really lit my face up quite a bit. So you sort of answered it, but maybe just a little more information on how you actually got started coaching.
Well, I never really intended to go into coaching as a career. I went to college. I didn't swim in college. I was not super fast. I could have swum for maybe a decent D2, D3 school, but got an academic scholarship to Kansas State University. So I went there, and I was going to the pool for a workout, and I saw the bulletin board outside. There's an advertisement from the local team, the Manhattan Marlins, for an assistant coach. So I applied, and I started doing that while I was in school. Started off as an engineering major. Switched to economics, and I was doing this, but I was coaching this full-time. I wasn't full-time coach, but I was coaching the whole time I was in college. And then my senior year, the head coach resigned mid-season, and they asked me to be the interim head coach, and that's really when the bug bit. I wasn't, even when I took on the interim position, I wasn't planning on applying for it full-time, but I loved it. And the board president, his name was Tim Mush. He'd been around swimming his whole life, was an Olympic trials finalist. Both his brothers were longtime coaches. His brother Kim out at UC Santa Cruz, his brother Tom up in the Chicago area. And he looked at me and sat me down. He goes, "If you want to do this for the career, I think you got potential." And that's really when I bit into it. When he told me he thought, you know, with somebody with that experience, with brothers that were coaching for 40 plus years, coaching all Americans, you know, that made me think, okay, maybe I can do this. And so I applied for the full-time job and got it. I worked full-time and got very much paid part-time. at that point, that's just what I did. So I finished my degree in economics, which I obviously don't use every day in the water, but it just kind of went from there. And I haven't gotten out of it. That was, I think, 2005 when I was hired as the head coach there. And it just kind of rolled from there. It's a calling, you know? Yeah,
for sure. And so 2005, that's 15 years down the road. That's, I was talking to our coach last time, Nick Baker, and you get past that 10-year mark and you keep doing it. Like you said, it's a bug, right? And yep. You know whether you love it or whether you don't love it. And those of us that love it, we just can't stay away no matter what. It's funny that you said you started as an engineering major, because that's exactly what I started out as. I was mechanical engineering to start. And actually, I was in mechanical engineering for about 5.5 years. Realized that I wanted to coach swimming, but I had to graduate college. So we made a switch, and got a degree in mathematics.
There you go.
All right. Let's go to the number 5. Number 3 was a little more spicy than I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, that surprised me a bit. It had some nice heat to it, but lips aren't burning just yet.
No.
We'll see what happens here. I got more of a drumstick on this one.
All right. So what was your personal swimming experience?
So I started swimming. I mean, obviously, I think it was lessons around maybe 6 or 7. There's a pool maybe 4 or 5 blocks down the street from my parents' house. And I don't remember exactly why we got into swimming. We started with summer league team. I did a bunch of sports growing up. I did baseball, basketball, soccer, gymnastics, did karate. Got into swimming, and just swam summer league for the most part. Then high school is when I really got into it and wanted to be good. I was not very fast going into my freshman year of high school. Like I think I was maybe like the 500 free was my best event. I think I was maybe 7'10", going into my freshman year. But I had a great high school coach. I actually had a lot of really good coaches coming along. I actually probably when I was younger, I enjoyed baseball more. But I eventually, as I grew up, the baseball coaches weren't the most positive that I had. There were some that early on that were phenomenal. Towards the end, there were some that, you know, they'd chew you out if you struck out. You know, I didn't like that. You know, I liked in swimming, if I got DQ'd, the coach was like, all right, we'll just put you back in it the next time and we'll work on it and get better. So in high school, I was a high school state qualifier. And I think it was the 200 IM 100 back is what I swam at state my senior year. I kind of wish I'd swum the 500. I that was my better event, but I thought the 2 IM I'd place a little bit higher, but was not correct in that assessment. But did get a medal as part of a relay, 200 medley relay. You know, it was just one of those things where in swimming, the guys that I swam with, I was so much more close-knit with the guys that I played all those other sports with. Like the people I still talk to from high school are the guys that I swam with for the most part.
Right.
You know, we still get together. It's hard. We're all spread across the country now, but there's been times we've gotten together over the years and that we still chat about swimming and just life in general now. So my swimming experience was very much part of being a family, you know, as a second family from my from home. And I think that's why I was really drawn to it, especially once I got into coaching. It kind of brought all those memories flooding back of, you know, not just the tough practices or, you know, the swim meets and stuff, but it was going out to Fazoli's after a swim meet or Olive Garden right. after a swim meet and video game parties before a swim meet. We'd always play 007 on the Nintendo 64 before our league and state meets and probably stayed up way too late before league. Oh, just got attacked by my cat. He tends to do that when I'm on the Zoom. So my swimming experience was, I mean, yeah, it was a lot about swimming, but it was really about the relationships I developed with the guys that I swam with. And sure. I think that pulls into my coaching philosophy today.
Yeah. And I, you know, same thing that, you know, when I was swimming, you know, same deal. It was high school was how I started kind of. I mean, I did a little bit of club when I was a little bit younger, but it was kind of rec league club. And yeah, we had some amazing team bonding things and watching Christmas Vacation. That was one of the biggest ones. We watched Christmas Vacation during our Christmas break time, and it was it was always fun to watch that as a group at someone's house in their basement and have their parents feed us. So awesome. All right, let's try this next one.
I think we're starting to climb the scale here. We'll see what this one goes.
Yeah, number 7 here. So this group, this was the hottest one that I had last time. So
I didn't read the ingredients on these. But now we're starting to get into the ghost pepper, the scorpion pepper powder. Man, that's good. Yeah. You can feel it.
Adding, they all have the same. They all have the same starting ingredients, and then it keeps adding stuff as it gets hotter. Yeah, that one's a little bit warm.
Yeah, that's the one. At this point, it's that one's starting to build. You know, when I first bit in, I'm like, oh, it's not too bad. It's building a little bit.
Yeah. Good though. So who has been the most influential person in your swimming / coaching career?
I think I'm going to have to go the same route that Nick took, because there's really not one. For my swimming career, it's definitely my high school coach. He was phenomenal. And he never swam. He was a football coach, the O-line, D-line coach, and they needed somebody to coach the swim team. So he signed on, but he didn't just show up, sit in a chair and write, you know, 8100s on the board and say, go. He went to coaching clinics for swimming, talked to other coaches around high school coaches, really tried to learn. And, you know, his skill, you know, he learned a lot about swimming, but I think the reason why he was so influential for me and the reason why I really, that's when I decided swimming was my thing, was he really knew how to relate to his athletes. You know, I think the art of coaching spans all sports, and he had developed that over the years as a football coach. You know, he wasn't a stereotypical football coach that, you know, in the movies where they're screaming and cussing at you. Right. You know, he would take you aside and ask how you're doing. He really cared about our lives. I remember there was one time when I was a senior, he pulled me aside And he pointed to one of our freshmen. He goes, hey, he's really struggling right now. Doesn't have a lot of friends in school. He had just moved here. I want you really to befriend him and help him along. And so, you know, again, that's also carried into my coaching career. Unfortunately, he passed away my sophomore year of college. So I haven't been able to get a lot of advice from him in person. But when I think back to how he coached me and why I was so drawn to him, that made a big difference. In my coaching career, I mentioned Tim Mush earlier. He was the president of the Manhattan Marlins when I was hired as the head coach. And he really went out of his way to help mentor me, share a lot of his. He had coached some as well. At the time, he was, the director of the kinesiology department at Kansas State. But he had coached some at the collegiate level. He brought his brothers in. So I could, that one bit me a little bit there.
Yeah, it's getting warm.
I could talk to his brothers so he was really influential, especially early in my coaching career. And then a lot of the coaches I coached with in Wichita, Katie Yavak, who was NCAA All-American, former national team member, you know, and her confidence in the decisions that she made really had a big impact on me and helped me learn that, Brian Kupfer was at the end of my time at Wichita, and he exposed me a lot of different training philosophies and, how to kind of help me get out of a rut in that terms. And then our head coach now in Columbia, Gary Galbraith, has been amazing. He has a very clear vision for what he wants us to do here. And he articulates that and he kind of lets us do our thing. So I get to coach my group and he'll come back with input here and there. But, you know, I think his style as a head coach is great because he's not dictating, not micromanaging everything I do. So those are the people that have really had a huge influence on my coaching career, just learning different aspects of the sport from each of them and the art of coaching from each of them.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. I think that's so very important. Like I said, we've got 19,000 members here on this Facebook page, and I think getting those mentors, you know, obviously we all started somewhere, right? And so there's that piece. But and then I would obviously really encourage, and now you're in this position to be a mentor, right, to other people, and just always, you know, I really believe that there's no stupid questions, right? There, someone might ask this thing, and we might be like, okay, sounds silly to me because I've just been doing this forever, but you know, we need to help build these people up and try to keep coaches in our sport, right?
Yep, that's a big thing. I mean, I think where there's a lot of coaches that either burn out or they aren't, when they're young, they're not put in a position to have any ownership over their coaching career. They're just another body on the deck. They get handed a workout and they're more managing a workout rather than coaching. Yep. You know, I think that's something like we've been lucky to hire a couple of the former Mizzou swimmers on Columbia Swim Club. And, you know, Gary has made sure to, like we have Kylie Dahlgren's coaching for us, and he gave her a little group of sprinters that needs a lot of sprint training, and had her work with them and give them ownership, you know, and then reach out. I think we have to reach out when we see it, when we're in a hospitality, a swim meet, sit down with coaches, young coaches you don't know, and just talk, even if it's just about life and how to manage coaching as well as your personal life. You know, that's the big thing I think will keep coaches, young coaches in the sport, is learning how to do that.
100%. You know, I started off really interesting. I started off as a head coach. And so, you know, I kind of learned through a lot of mistakes of my own, but small little team in Michigan. And we go to these swim meets where I stay in a hotel. And I remember my buddy today, he called me the other day, and we were about the same age. He came up to me. He's like, man, you know, your kids look good. I've never heard of your team before. And after the meet's over, let's go to dinner. Right.
Yep.
And that was, you know, for the longest time in Michigan was going, I love the swim meets, obviously it's why I do it, but it was awesome to go out to eat with coaches from other teams. And, you know, we'd just talk swimming all night long. And, you know, I'll tell you, when I went to California, I missed that a little bit. It wasn't quite that same camaraderie between teams, you know, within teams, you see that with the coaches and that was great. But my experience out there, it was quite a bit different animal. And got back here to Iowa and coached club for 4.5 years and more of that here. So it was really nice to be able to spend time with other coaches and, you know, don't be afraid about giving out secrets. You know, we all do it different. Kids take to it different. If you're not doing your own thing, then, you know, you're not doing it the right way, really. You've got to do it your own way, but we all steal stuff from each other, and that's just the nature of the beast, right?
Yep.
All right, number eight. So of the purebred idiots, this will be my hottest one. Almost think we got to talk more just to let our mouths cool down a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, I think that cumulative effect as you go up the ladder starts to kick in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. All right. What do you enjoy to do besides swimming? When you're not coaching or watching swimming on TV or at a meet, what things do you enjoy that kind of spark your interest?
Oh, man. That one just hit the back of my throat.
Yeah.
I like cycling a lot. For a few years, actually, I rode my bike everywhere. I sold my car. It had more money that needed to be put into it than it was worth. And I was going to ride just for a summer, and I enjoyed it. So I biked everywhere year round for about 2.5 years. And now when I go outside in the winter and it's 10 degrees, I really question my sanity during that time when I would bike to swim practice in 10 degree weather. But I still get out. We have here in Columbia, we have a lot of trails. We're really close to the Katy Trail. There's a little spur that comes right through downtown. We have Rockbridge State Park that has some good biking trails. So I still get out and do that. I just got into photography. It's something I always kind of wanted to do. And so I just bought a camera, not a super expensive one, but a good starter one. And took about 150 photos out in Rockbridge State Park, and maybe 10 of them came out good. Yeah. So it's been a learning process for me. I've signed up for a few online classes for photography and try to learn a bit more about that. And then I play music. I've played music since I joined the orchestra. I think it was fourth or fifth grade. Played the violin. Still have my violin. Cool story. We found it in my grandpa's attic.
Wow.
We would buy a bunch of stuff from yard sales. So we had this box of maybe 10 violins. We took it to this violin shop in Kansas City, and the guy's pulling out. He goes, "This is trash. This is trash. This one's pretty good." So we got it fixed up. I still have that and play it on occasion. I play the guitar. I'm learning the saxophone. I'm not very good at it, but my goal is to get where I can play the national anthem at a swim meet when we eventually have swim meets again.
Right.
And then I play the mandolin. Another one we found in my grandpa's attic, it's a mandolin banjo. It's a mandolin with a banjo head. Got it restored, found out it was built somewhere around 1915. So 105 years old, and it's still making music. So I'm not great at music. I don't sing very well at all, but it's really nice to just, it's a good escape. You know, you can, different types of songs, whatever emotion you're in, you know, whether it's a nice chill song or if I'm angry and decide to play a little Metallica or something like that and the guitar, and sure. It's a good outlet. So
that's awesome. I think that's one thing really important that maybe more coaches need to do. And I know I kind of failed that for many years, was self-care. You know, we use that term self-care, and I'm not real big on using same terms all over the time, but
yep.
We got to take care of ourselves, and we got to find ways to make ourselves happy besides just swimming. And so I think that's fantastic. You do those things and looking for new avenues. That's pretty neat to keep adding things to your list.
Well, that's something that's been purposeful. About maybe, I don't know, it was maybe 6 years ago, I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety, and I had not developed a good work-life balance. And it was very unhealthy. No, get down, buddy. The cat was trying to come for a chicken wing. Yeah. that was something the therapist suggested, was getting back into some activities I enjoyed and finding new ones. You know, learning is something that is really good for the brain, whether I'm learning new things about swimming or things outside of the sport. That's something I've really advocated with a lot of, especially young coaches. You know, I dug myself into that hole, and luckily there are resources to dig yourself out. And, you know, we say self-care, we got it. It's absolutely 100% on the nose.
Yeah.
You got to make sure that we're in a good place that we can actually help our kids that we coach.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm 46 years old and I just started last year. Well, 2 years ago, I bought my first motorcycle. Facebook told me that a year ago, I finally got it running. And it's funny because that was my first bike. I'm now my third bike, and apparently in a year. But I love going out for, you know, I go out for anywhere from 3 to 10 hours and just love being out. And I've got some different things I try to see. And but it's nice to kind of get out and do things that make yourself happy, right?
Yep. I've enjoyed seeing the pictures of the Freedom Rocks you've been visiting out there in Iowa. That's pretty cool.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a pretty touching personal journey. It's pretty awesome.
All right, number 9.
This is number 9.
See how this one goes.
Before we get the hard stuff. So what was your most memorable swimming experience? It's getting hot now.
Yeah, it is.
You swimming personally, what was your most memorable swimming experience of you being a swimmer?
Well, I had an answer for this. Now it's starting to get hot and the memory's going a little bit. You know, there's a couple. There was one when I first made high school state. That was a big goal of mine. And actually, I remember looking up at the scoreboard and I misread the time and I thought I missed it. And like, I'm looking at my teammates and like, they're behind the blocks. They're screaming like, what are you talking about? I missed the cut. And I look up again and I got it. And I just went ballistic. I don't remember anything else at that point. I just went ballistic. And that was really, really neat. It was something that I set a goal of my freshman year and just missed out my sophomore year and finally tagged that cut. And oh man, that one builds.
Yeah, they're getting warmer. These next two are pretty hot. So,
but you know, just for me, I think when I look back, it wasn't so much that moment that made it also special. It was all the work that went in ahead of it. You know, the process. You know, all the training, the time in the weight room, working on technique, all that stuff is what made that so valuable. And then I also remember, and this is. It's just kind of a funny moment, and it stuck with me, and I tell it the story a lot. When it was winter break practice, my senior year of high school coach shows up to practice, and he's missing his two front teeth, and he's whistling when he talks. And we didn't want to say anything, so we didn't wake him back because practice is already going to be brutal. And finally, about halfway through, he goes, all right, I'll tell you guys the story. He goes, I was driving with my wife to see my in-laws. And I went to bite my glove to pull it off my hand, and I pulled my two front teeth out. My wife looked at me and said, you're not seeing my parents without your two front teeth. Shove them back in there. So when he said that, he told us the dentist told him it's because he never flossed. And one of the freshmen on our team, this kid named Martez, goes, I never floss. We're like, you better start. Well, for the rest of that year, we saw him in between classes, walking on the hall, flossing his teeth to make sure he didn't lose his teeth.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wow, that's starting to get warm.
Yep. I feel like after this next one, I might be bringing out the whole gallon jug of milk.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to run over here and get some more water real quick. But I can hear everything. The question is, so that was your most memorable swimming experience. What's your most memorable as a coach?
Okay. As a coach, there's a couple. And it's really a lot of it centered around a kid overcoming adversity. There was a kid that I coached in Manhattan named Mark that had some neurological disorders that affected him muscularly or something. And swimming was the sport that was going to help him the most. And the doctors had prescribed him to swim, and he wasn't very fast, but when he was 14, he broke 30 seconds the first time. And he just, I mean, it was just like, he, it was like he made the Olympics. That was his Olympics. And he eventually got down to being a pretty decent swimmer by his senior year of high school. But, you know, just, you know, seeing him overcome, you know, some of the physical challenges he had. And then there's another one, this girl I coached my first season in Wichita with Wichita Swim Club. Her name was Jenna, and she had torn her labrum in one of her shoulders, and it had been out, basically out of commission for a year and a half. It was a bad tear. All the doctors in Wichita said she was done. They finally took her to a surgeon in Denver that worked with the Colorado Rockies, the Denver Broncos. He said, I can fix you, but it's a long path forward. And so she was cleared to start swimming again. And then the guy that was her coach, his name was Scott, left to go take another coaching job. And I was hired. So this brand new guy that she didn't know coming in, trying to lead her back from injury. She had made a sectional cut before she was hurt, lost it because the cuts got faster. And then, so the plan was we built her up and we're going to make the cut in December, this rest meet we had. And she was a butterfly and she missed it by like 0.3 seconds. We're like, you're close. We'll get it. Go to a meet in January. She missed it by like just under 0.2 seconds. We're like, all right, we still got plenty of time. And we go to another meet later. It's like maybe late January, February. And she missed it by a couple hundredths in the 100 fly. We're like, oh my God, what do we got to do here? So she's swimming the 200 butterfly later in the meet. And I think at the time, the two fly, her best time was maybe 2:22. She's very much a sprint butterfly. And the cut was maybe 2:15. And she takes her 200 fly out in 1:02. And her dad was the starter. I look over at him and he looks at me. And we're like, oh, this is a little aggressive. And she died the last 50, but she got in, she got the cut. And we were just going crazy. She couldn't see the scoreboard, yeah. But she saw our reaction. So she knew she got, I'm getting a little emotional right now. That was a big deal. Excuse me. I'm not coughing because of the hot sauce right now. That was really neat. You know, that was something where it had been at that point, we're coming up on almost 2 years process from the initial day of injury through the recovery to getting that cut. And, you know, also have to deal with a new coach that she didn't know. I'm a loud guy on deck. I move around a lot. I make a lot of noise. And, you know, it's this guy running down the pool deck, yelling at him in practice, cheering him out in practice. And she finally, you know, she trusted the process. And that was really neat. And so that was one of the coolest moments of my coaching career, seeing somebody go through that process. And
that's awesome. And,
you know, I've coached some kids that have gone really, really fast. And that's great as well. And I love all of them. But sometimes it's not the fastest kids. It's the ones that have to go through some adversity, go through some struggle, and they find their way through it. That's the really neat moments in coaching.
Absolutely. I agree with you so much. All right, we're going to hurt ourselves now.
Yep. Okay.
So this is Da Bomb. I hope I'm all right here, but if I run away to get some water or milk, if not, I'll be back.
Same here. Ooh.
They just keep building.
Yep. Oh, that one's – it's hot. I still can taste some flavor to it, but it's – oh. I'm going to go get a little bit more milk. I'll be right back.
Those of you watching last time, a couple of my friends, actually my mom and my friend, recommend that bread. So
I
a couple of pieces of bread and I buttered up.
Yeah, I've heard that, and I just decided to bring the whole gallon out with me. I did not go out and buy bread today. I didn't think about that today.
Well, all right. It's hot, but
you know, there's this place in Topeka, Kansas. It's called Perubsky's Deli. It's in Little Russia, and they sell these hot pickles. They soak in this combination of horseradish sauce and all this other stuff. And we're at a swim meet once where the air quality was pretty poor there. So I bought some, and you bite in and breathe out your nose, and it immediately it's cleared the sinuses. I'm getting that same thing from the bomb here, where it just my sinuses are immediately. You keep that on hand for when the allergies get rough and I get stuffed up.
It's hot.
Yep. Ooh.
I think I'm gonna live though. But it's hot. Well, we got one more sauce. And it's supposed to be hotter. So this is down for you. Talk about what you want.
Whoa. When I start talking, that's when it starts to hit me a bit again. This one I thought a lot about, and this is pretty good to chat about. Number one is just, again, kind of going back to what you had and we talked about earlier, was for young coaches to reach out and not be afraid of talking to a coach that's been on the deck for a long time and asking for advice. I think you'll find most coaches will more than happily share a lot of their experience with you. I'm a part of a Zoom call every couple of weeks with coaches around the country, and Brendan Hansen hopped on the last couple, and the last one pretty explicitly told us we needed to invite a lot more young coaches into it. So we started doing that. And but just, you know, I think it's good for just go talk to coaches at swim meets or go to meets where you don't have kids qualified, but it's a high level meet. I did that a couple times with some Grand Prix meets and just observed the coaches. All right, I'm about to bite into this last dab here. See how this goes. Ooh, man. That one's up there.
Yeah. So what you're talking about, I've got like the perfect example. One of the most, kind of up and coming coaches, and he's an associate head coach of Virginia, Tyler Fenwick. You know, I met him at Nationals, and it was like 2008 maybe. And he was like traveling the team, and he was a volunteer assistant, I think. And he was working with the strength team more than anything, I believe. And we were in the, I remember it was at Indianapolis at IUPUI. Whew.
Yeah.
Went to have some lunch or grab something. I had some time before my kid was going to swim again. And, he's a young guy, and he just walked up, introduced himself to me. We sat down and ate lunch together. And, you know, and he was just so personable and just wanted to learn, you know. He didn't know me from Adam, and he saw my University of Pacific shirt on. And, we chatted for 15 or 20 minutes. next thing I know, he's associate head coach or assistant head coach at Mission Viejo or whatever it was. And, now he's one of these really sought-after coaches, coaching these great distance kids, open water, and pool swimming. And, every time I see his name, that's why I always remember when he introduced himself to me when he was just young guy. And that's what you got to do. And then the old coaches, we've got to be willing to take them under our wing and and say, I'll answer your questions. I'll give you my 2 cents, and maybe you'll use some of it, maybe you won't.
Yep. Well, I think, sometimes it can be intimidating as a young coach to go up to people, and especially the big name coaches. And it's good, to reach out to them as well. I think that's a big part of developing our sport. If we want to continue as the best swimming nation in the world, we've got to develop. Cat's coming at me again. It's double-edged. My mouth is on fire. My cat's attacking my leg. We've got to help those young coaches, not just the ones on our staff. Maybe it's even the team down the street, that's going to develop the sport and make everybody better. So I also wanted to ask you a bit about your team, and what the I don't know a whole lot about, you know, the community college scene. You know, I think there's probably some huge advantages for certain kids, a lot of kids, to take that route. And I'm always wanting to learn more so I can help our athletes find the best path forward in their swimming career.
Well, I appreciate it. I'll try to reel it in and not talk too much about it. I can talk for hours, but you know, a lot of people don't know what we have to offer, you know, and one thing that one of the many things that I say to every recruit is that it's junior college, but this is college swimming. Don't think that it's high school 2.0 or glorified, you know, anything else. This is college swimming. You know, this – so at Iowa Central, we're the best athletic department in the country for two-year schools. We just won the Daktronics Cup for the 11th time in 12 years. That's a point system based on how many mainly how many teams you have in the top five of your national championships. We swam pretty well in the girls' team, but we were only fourth, but still we're fourth. You know, we've gotten to a point where fourth is kind of a bummer. My boys were third. We had five national championships, but we were kind of bummed out with third place. But we still swam pretty well. Our particular school, we have dorms on campus that people don't know about. They're some of the best dorms I've ever seen. You know, we have 1,300 kids live on our campus. During a normal year, we'll be down a little bit this year because we're reducing some of the room sizes. But normally 1,300 kids live on our campus. We only have one small tower of dorms that is traditional housing with the block room and two guys in a room, and that's only for men. The rest of our housing is apartments.
Oh, wow.
With a full kitchen. You know, so we've got 16 buildings. Let's see, the 16 buildings each have, I think, 12 apartments in them. They're two bedrooms, full living room, full kitchen, and we're talking full-size refrigerator, not an apartment stove, a full-size electric stove, double sink, cabinets for all their dishes. Four of the buildings have two bathrooms. So, you know, so the living arrangement's amazing. Now, we have that, but we have a cafeteria with 19 meals a week too. So the full kitchen is for additional food that they want to do and things like that. We know swimmers, like, and athletes in general, like to eat more food. So having that kitchen is nice, right? Yeah. We offer a small class size. So we're 19-to-1 student to teacher ratio. The big class, my son just graduated from here and he had sociology with 55 kids. And that's about our biggest class that we have.
Oh, man, I remember the 300 student lecture halls at Kansas State. So,
yep, absolutely. You know, I had a boy go to Iowa that I was coaching club, and he had 200 kids in his calculus class. Our calculus class is going to be 10 to 12. You get to calculus 3, it's going to be 7 kids in a class.
Wow.
One really unique thing, you know, we get kids kind of for kind of three main reasons, right? One, they struggle with grades and they need to get back on, you know, figure out how to be successful in college. Two, we get kids that it's just expensive to go to school. They want to save some money. For in-state room and board and tuition is only $12,800.
Wow.
That's all in, you know, that's, you know, I think Iowa State is around 18 or 19 and Iowa is 20 or 21. That's in-state, right?
Yep.
You consider going out of state. Now, for our bordering states, which, you know, Missouri is part of, if a kid has a 3.0, then they get what we call they kind of get a waiver. It's almost like a $2,500 scholarship, brings them down to only like $200 or $300 more than what in-state is. So you're talking $13,000 all in to go out of state. And then the only difference for international kids is the international insurance.
Yeah.
So the cost is pretty inexpensive. We use the FAFSA like everybody else does, you know, so you can qualify for some loans. You can qualify for grants and Pell Grants, things like that. I do have scholarships. I don't have a lot. I mean, full disclosure, I'm like one of the most honest people you'll meet, sometimes to my detriment, but I have right around 3 scholarships to spread throughout 15 kids of each gender. So no one's getting a full ride. They got to know that. We're trying to build a program. I could give a full ride, but then that's a lot less that I have to offer other kids, right?
Yep.
But, you know, there's only one other junior college in town, or not in town, but in state. And then the next closest is down in Kansas, 7.5 hours away. So yeah. Our competitions are against four-year schools, you know, so kids can come. They can save money. I'm sorry, I said the 3 things. I kind of skipped over. The third thing is the kids just need to get faster, right? Yeah. I got these big goals, but I'm just not quite there yet, right? But our competitions are against NAIA schools, D3, D2, D1. Now, NJCA has changed our schedule this year. We're not going to be able to host South Dakota State like we had last year. But we brought South Dakota State men's swimming Division I to Fort Dodge Senior High School, swimming against Iowa Central here last year. I mean, that was pretty huge, you know. And so my kids get to race against D1 kids. You know, we go up and we swim up in South Dakota against USD, SDSU on the girls' side, Augustana, and University of Sioux Falls. We've been down to swim William Jewell down in Missouri.
Yep.
So, you know, we have the kids see really good competition. I'm not afraid of it. I'd rather lose having my kids be challenged than, you know, go and try to find all the easiest things that we can win. So it's a great way for kids to get some more exposure, you know, and find some better things. You know, I had a boy that was like a 1.9, maybe 2.0 student in high school. He needed to get his act together, right? He was, after his first 3 semesters, he was 2.4. So better than high school plus his college level courses, right? His last semester that he just had, with all the COVID crap going on, he had 3.5. So he graduated college with a 3.5 GPA that he probably never in his life thought he would do. And he found a place to go swim and continue. He's going to go to D2 school down in, I think it's Franklin Springs. It's Emmanuel College down in Georgia.
Okay.
You know, and because of getting faster, you know, he went from a 21.7 to 21.0. He went from 47.2 to 46.0, I think. Dropped like 2 seconds in his 100 fly down to 51.0, I think he went. You know, so he improved his times, but he also got to get away from home and figure out the college life, right?
Yep.
And be successful. Got more successful as he went along. And now we found a place to go, right? And it's just, to me, that's, I am so proud of him. And I was texting him and he's like, I guess, coach. I mean, he's, you know, we had some interesting relationship things over the past 2 years. But to see him grow as a human being and to get that 3.5 GPA, that was huge. He's going to be CSCAA Academic All-American. A kid that, you know, 2.0, I mean, really, you're barely graduating high school, right?
Yep.
And he's going to be an Academic All-American his last semester in junior college. To me, that's just amazing, right? And so these kids can turn this around. They start fresh, you know. The GPA is you start off with a 4.0, right? So you can go on and move on. And once you graduate, then the college, the high school stuff doesn't matter anymore. As long as you graduate, the test scores don't matter. The grades don't matter. You're this level of college student, and people are going to be excited to have you, you know. So, you know, I love to share my passion with it. Our school loves swimming or loves sports. We have 31 sports.
Oh, wow.
We have, you know, for a junior college of 1,300 kids on campus, around 1,000 of them are athletes.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
You know, we have sport shooting. We got rodeo. We've got the national championship rugby team. And when I say national champion, they're the best rugby team in the country. And people were so afraid of them, actually, 2 years ago. They should have been on ESPN. They were beating teams 100 and some points to like 20. But because we're a 2-year school, they said you can't be in the big game. You got to go and swim the small college one. Or not swim, but play. Yeah. So they went and they played the small college one. They finally got bumped up to level 2 this year in the fall, and boom, they won again.
That's awesome.
So, you know, we got just great support. It's unique. It's really unique. I'm the bus driver. I have my CDL. We have our own buses, so I'm driving the kids everywhere. We don't have our own pool, and so I drive the kids from campus. I get a bus and I drive them to the pool and back, which is pretty fun to hear the whole group of kids behind me talking talking about their day. And so it kind of puts me in their lives just a little bit more. But it's a great opportunity for kids to save money, have some really good swimming, improve yourself, be successful in college academics in a smaller environment. And then if you want, go on to that larger environment where those classes are a little bit bigger. So that was about 12 minutes of me rambling on.
I love it. That's great. You know, I think it provides opportunities for kids that otherwise might not realize that there's a chance for them to, even just on the academic side, you know, get that stuff figured out. And I'll certainly, as we have kids coming up, I'll certainly keep you in mind and try to put a few of them in touch with you. So
I greatly appreciate it. Well, I think that's our time today. Todd, I really appreciate you coming on. It's great getting to know you a little bit. I'd love to get to know you more. And like you said, we would talk to you about some of your kids. And hopefully next summer when things calm down, maybe I'll come down, do a little trip, and maybe I'll do a combination. I'll ride my motorcycle down there and maybe do some recruiting, and we can sit down and have some, maybe not the bomb, but some other more relaxing hot wing type stuff.
Absolutely. That sounds great.
Well, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day. I really appreciate it. Have a great practice tomorrow, and I look forward to getting to know you, man.
All right. Awesome. This was a lot of fun. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you.